Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. This is God's word. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy an inspired word. Where is Paul as he writes this letter? He's in prison. No fun. His movements are restricted. He can't come and go as he pleases. Other people can come see him, but it's not an easy situation in life. And Paul, waiting trial, doesn't know the outcome. He's hopeful that it's going to turn out well. But again, I want to remind you, it's an uncomfortable situation. And so he decides he wants to send his assistant who's been like a son to him, Timothy. He wants to send Timothy to them, but he says, "I'm going to keep Timothy here with me until I see how this thing turns out for me, until I see how this trial turns out." And he says, "However, I am going to go ahead and right now, presumably with this letter, send back to you Epaphroditus." Who's Epaphroditus? Well, Epaphroditus, explains right here, was someone from Philippi, a part of their church. And when they knew that Paul was going through a tough time, they couldn't all come and help. So they sent one of their number, Epaphroditus, to go and be an assistant to Paul. Just kind of do whatever he needs, man. Take care of the guy. So Epaphroditus came and got sick and nearly died. Well, you know, these things happen. They're not supposed to happen to Paul. Wasn't Paul one of the apostles? Yes, yes, he was. Well, I thought I remembered from the book of Acts where Paul laid hands on sick people and they got well. Yep, you remember that right. I mean, that happened like more than once, right? Oh yeah, it happened over and over again, many, many times. Astounding miracles. One guy who got sleepy during Paul's long preaching. And Paul was preaching pretty much all night. He just wouldn't stop because he was going to be leaving the next day. And he had so much he wanted to say to these folks that he just went on and on and on. And I'm not exaggerating. That's what the text says, that Paul preached on and on. Well, this guy was sitting up in a window, I guess trying to get some fresh air, trying to stay awake, but he nodded off and he fell out of the window. And when they went down to see what had happened to him, he was dead. And so they're all like, oh! And Paul runs up and he says, don't worry, his life is still in him. And he raises him up. Well, so he wasn't really dead? It's not clear. But the bottom line is, no matter what happened, this guy had an apostolic anointing to touch people and they were healed. Look for just a moment in Acts chapter 19. This is one of the places that talks about that. Acts chapter 19, when Paul was in Ephesus. Verse 11, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Now, I'm sorry, if I heard about that somewhere other than Scripture, I'd say, I don't believe it. You know, that's taking a handkerchief to somebody and saying, this touched the Apostle Paul. Let it touch you, and healing power will flow. And it worked. It happened. I'd say, nah. I mean, maybe, I can't say no way God would do that. Well, I better not say no way God would do that, because God did that. God did that. Something I never would have put in the script. Okay? That's just extraordinary. That's the way it's described here. This is not common everyday occurrence. This is the kind of thing that God can do whenever God chooses to. It's important for us to understand that, because that's precisely the principle behind what Paul describes here in Philippians 2. Paul, who had on numerous occasions displayed the power of God to heal the sick, now has a guy who's with him, very sick, and almost died. Well, Paul didn't have to put up with that. He just said, be healed! Nope. That's not what happened. Why not? Because the power was to be used under God's authority. Jesus was asked, how do you do the things you do? He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. The words that I speak are not my own. I say what the Father tells me to say. And so, likewise, with the apostles, they went out and did these miraculous things, and it was the power of God that was at work through their obedience. As they were obedient, God displayed his power. So if God tells me to lay hands on somebody and they'll be healed, I can do that and they'll be healed. Yeah, if God tells you to, certainly. Well, what if I just see somebody who's sick and I think, I wonder if I could lay hands on them and they'll get well? Feel free to try. Well, might it happen? I suppose. But if God says it, it happens. If you just feel like trying it, it's totally up to God. God will do what he wants to do.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling
so,
out my name.
And Paul was sent a helper who turned out to be a burden. I mean, it didn't start out that way. They didn't have a guy, you know, who can we send to Paul? Well, Epaphroditus is sick. Maybe Paul could help him. That wasn't the idea. They sent him a guy to be a helper, and the guy who was supposed to help him turned out to be very ill. So you better believe that Paul prayed, but Epaphroditus got worse and worse and almost died. Look again at the text. Verse 27. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Paul says, I already had enough problems. You know, I was already suffering. I was already sorrowing. And now this guy who he's a dear brother in Christ, and he came to help me, and he was a help for a while, but then he got sick and he wasn't getting better, and it would have just been sorrow upon sorrow if he died. Okay? So God heals. God sometimes heals in an extraordinary way, like we read in Acts 19. That's not the usual way. That's extraordinary. Does God still do extraordinary healings? Yes, absolutely. God delights in doing the extraordinary whenever he chooses. Paul had a thorn in the flesh himself. A messenger of Satan tormented him. He was miserable. And he pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away. And instead, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Wow. I think one of the most amazing and delightful people is Nick Vujicic. Nick has been on my radio program a couple of times, and he's always a delight. You can check him out on YouTube. And Nick has preached to countless people around the world, and one reason that he tends to attract a lot of people and a lot of attention is because Nick has an unusual anomaly. He doesn't have any arms. Okay? None. He was born without them. It was a birth defect. And he has no arms or legs. No arms or legs? How does he get around? Well, he's remarkably independent, but he definitely has help. He's got a chair, and people do assist him, but he's married, he has a beautiful wife and kids, and a large ministry, and he's one of the most gifted speakers you'll ever hear. But one of the most remarkable things that God has been doing in recent years, especially in his international ministry, is that God has been healing people through Nick's ministry. I mean, we're talking things like the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. It's as if Jesus shows up. You know why? Because Jesus shows up. It isn't Nick. It's the power of God at work through him. Well, why doesn't God give him some arms and legs? Because God chose not to. As a kid, Nick didn't want to live. He wanted to die. But God had another plan. And Nick is one of the most joyful people who's viewed by the secular world as an amazing motivational speaker. But he's not just a motivational speaker, folks. He is a messenger of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And God has chosen to use him in extraordinary ways, including praying for sick people, and they're healed. So anybody he prays for is healed? No. 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 Well, which ones get healed? Whoever God chooses to heal. You see, God hasn't changed. He is still the same. And he's still in charge. He is God. Don't try and figure out what does it take in order to get God under my control. He's not a genie. The term genie goes back to a term in Islam, which has to do with a spiritual force that they may not recognize for what it is, but it is a very good description of a demon. Of course, we turn it into Barbara Eden popping out of a bottle with, you know, her midriff exposed. Saying, yes, master, what can I do for you? How adorable. Disney turns it into Robin Williams, okay? And that's funny. But let me just tell you, the desire to be able to control the spirit realm is satanic. If you understand the truth about the spirit realm, you want to submit your life to the one and only God. So, Paul says some things here that we need to take to heart because this was the case in his day. Verse 21, everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. That's always been the norm. Is that the way it should be? No, of course not. Is that the way it is? Yeah, that's the way it is. It was that way for Paul. Well, Paul perhaps just didn't understand good leadership dynamics. No, Paul was trying to deal with humans. And humans, by nature, are selfish, sinful creatures. You sit there and you say, it's a really grim view of other people. I'm not talking about other people, I'm talking about you. And me! Our natural bent is not good. That's why all of us need to be coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, please change me. Please. I need your grace. I don't just want to be forgiven, Lord. I want to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Timothy, on the other hand, he says, takes a genuine interest in your welfare. So there are people who actually take a genuine interest in the welfare of others? Yes. So sometimes when a person says they care about me, they might be telling the truth. Yeah. Well, that's kind of comforting. How do I know if it's sincere or not? Well, if what they say about caring about you and loving you, listen up, young people, if what they say about that is partnered with trying to get you to do things that God says are not okay, they're lying. They're lying. They don't care about you. They care about themselves, and they're trying to use you selfishly. Don't go along with it. But if what they say about caring for you is partnered with encouraging you to seek the Lord and do what God says. That's somebody who cares about you. Because what they want is what's genuinely good for you. And he says Timothy was like that. Now again, Epaphroditus, he says, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who's also your messenger whom you sent to take care of my needs. It wasn't that he didn't value Epaphroditus. It's that Epaphroditus' time with him had come to an end. He's saying, I really am going to be relieved when I send him back to you. So you don't love him? Oh, no, I do love him, but you don't appreciate him. No, I do appreciate him. He just shouldn't be here right now. There are times when sending someone on is actually the loving thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Because what Epaphroditus was creating in Paul's life was more stress, and he didn't need more stress right then. Okay? He's awaiting trial. And just about everybody else had abandoned him. Timothy was still with him. But, you know, it's not a good time. I heard a comic who was asked about what it's like to have a bunch of children born real close together. And he said, well, I'll tell you what it's like. He said, it's like, you know, if you can picture yourself drowning and somebody hands you a baby. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I have. You know, I mean, you treasure this, you value this, but it's like, I can't deal with this right now. There are times when that happens. And it's okay to say, I can't deal with this right now. Now, if it's a baby, you can't just put it on its own. In Epaphroditus, Paul didn't say, get out of here. He wrote a very nice letter that Epaphroditus was to take back to the church in Philippi, which had sent him to help Paul. And he says about Epaphroditus, I'm eager to send him to you so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you couldn't give me. I love this book because I love the one who gave it to us. This is God's word. And if we don't just skim over it, but we actually look at it and try and see ourselves in the text, we realize that God is telling us what to expect and how to live. And in the midst of it all, the theme is his great love for us. How amazing is our God. Father, we thank you and praise you because you are worthy of praise. We thank you that your word is so true, so realistic. It describes to us in ways that we can relate to things that you not only did a long time ago, but things that we can now look around and see you doing today. You still heal people miraculously when you choose to. You still give sight to the blind. You still cause people to get their hearing who couldn't hear before. You still deliver people from demonic forces. You still change people's lives. Lord, all those physical things point to new life that is only in Christ Jesus. Help us to trust you and do what you say. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.
pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.